No, I'm starting that again. Sorry, Jason.
That was great. You're actually starting that again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I usually start everyone twice. So.
Sure. All right.
Yeah. So, okay. Welcome to this is three times. Jason makes me nervous because he's like a very special guest.
Right.
Okay.
Welcome great looking guy too, Jason. Symmetrical dude. Face, your hair.
He's incredible hairline. Looking. He's top three at the age. We'll talk about that. He's top probably five at the agency.
Your scruff is at perfect length.
Yeah. So welcome to another episode of Over Ass. We have the incredibly handsome, very special guest, Jason Benab, over $1 billion in real estate sales, luxury agent from Victoria. Jason, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Thanks, Eric. And I'm super stoked to be here. Yeah, this is exciting to be on here.
So yes. Yes, absolutely. So for people who don't know you, can you give your elevator pitch? Who's Jason Benab?
So I am a realtor in Victoria, BC. I also own the agency. So I'm with the company, the agency, as Matt is. And my partner, I've got a partner, Brian Danlew, and we own the rights to British Columbia. For the agency, I've got an office here in Victoria. He's got one in Duncan. We just signed a deal last week. Big news. I don't think we've said it to anybody else other than the two followers I've got on Instagram. So my grandma and my mom probably know. But we sold the rights to Vancouver. So we'll be opening up in Vancouver. And yeah, I've been doing real estate since 2005. So I'm in my 17th full year now. And I'm a people person. I'm fucking crazy. And I'm jacked up on coffee.
Sweet. Nice. Love it. So... you were the first to bring agency to Toronto?
We were the first ones to bring it to Canada. So,
or not Toronto, Canada. That's what
I mean. I know what you meant. Yeah. 3 years ago, it started 4 years ago, picked up the phone, called Mauricio cause I'd seen him on the TV show, you know, $1 million listing and Housewives, and, wanted to bring something different here. And the only company in my mind that for me, no offense to you, Eric, or, and you know, was the agency, right? Like,
yes.
Even Eric knows that. Yeah. We're all on the same
we
page
like the
here.
Agency here. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you like the agency. for me, it was kind of like do my own thing or, you know, buy another company that's already established. And for me, the brand of the agency, and I just felt like Mauricio seemed like the coolest guy ever on TV. And then when I met him in person, he was just as cool as he is on TV. Just kind of like Matt, what you get is what you, like if you saw Matt like this and you met him and he was a total fucking dick, mm-hmm. that would be disappointing, right? And Mauricio did not disappoint. He was just as cool. So was Billy, everybody else. So yeah, we bought the agency. We started in September, 2018.
Unreal. Eric, you've had some meetings with Mauricio and the whole squad actually.
I wouldn't say meetings, but I had a meeting, yes. And they are just as cool in person as they are on TV.
Yeah.
Relatable, nice guys. We like the agency. Confirmed.
Yeah. Confirmed. Yeah. Podcast. Well, on this podcast, I say I'm from the agency every episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm perfect. So proud to be from the agency.
What brokerage were you with before?
So I used to work with Engel & Völkers. I think they're in LA.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was McDonald Realty. And before that, I was Remax. We're all kind of on our journey to try to find ourselves. So I started in 2005 at Remax and started at Engel & Völkers in 2015 and switched to buy the agency, to open up the agency in 2018.
Got it. And what was the journey leading up to Remax to becoming a real estate agent? What did you do before?
Oh, God. Okay. So pretty funny. So my dad used to own a coffee shop. Yeah. So he's from Iran. So I'm half Iranian, hence the olive skin, you know.
Yeah. And, beautiful. We'll get it. We'll get into your looks. We'll
very tan. Get
in there. So my dad used to own a coffee shop and I got hired in 1994 at BC Ferries. I was making $7 an hour working for my dad and I got hired at the Ferries for $19 an hour. And I was like, Dad, sayonara, mother. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm out. And then, so I did 7 years there and I was like, I wanted to be an actor. So I was trying to be an actor. I was doing films, studying here in Victoria. My buddy, Corey Large, who's crushing it in movies. He just signed a movie with John Travolta, Bruce Willis.
Shit.
And done a bunch with Bruce Willis. If you check him out on IMDb, Corey Large, he's crushing. So him and I both moved to Vancouver. I was doing film school there. I went to the William Davis School of Film. He's a cancer guy from X-Files. You guys are a little bit young, but X-Files, if anybody
another reference. I know X-Files, but not that specific reference.
The cancer guy, the guy's always smoking. So I went there, tried to be an actor for 5 years, and I was a bartender. So from 2001 till 2006, so I was actually licensed in 2005, but I still moved back to Vancouver, I'd go back to Vancouver to bartend on the weekends and come back to Victoria. So I'd fly and bartending. And then I tried to be an actor, you know, whatever. I had an agent, 300 auditions, barely get any fucking parts, just sucked. But what I realized is I'm good on camera without a script. So tell me what to say. And it changes the way I, you know, I get nervous and shake and all that shit, but just put a camera on me. You could tell me 5 billion people are watching this right now. We're talking about real estate and shit I love. No problem. But put the camera on, put 5 people in the room and tell me exactly what to say. Something tweaked in my mind, and that's where I struggled. So moved back here, started as a realtor in 2005 and have been one ever since.
Well, yeah, there's only 4.5 billion people watching right now, but you're close. Yeah.
So it's 5 billion plus makes me nervous. I'm good.
Comfort zone. Good. So did you want to be luxury right away? Did you get right into that, or how did that go once you started?
So good question. So yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's important in the beginning for realtors to identify who you want to be. And nobody taught me this, right? Like, you get into real estate, you do this course, the book's like this thick, and you learn all this shit about houses and roofs, at least in Canada, Eric, and it's probably different in LA, but
you don't learn anything.
Back in the day when I did it, you could be a mortgage broker or a realtor. The course was good for both. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a realtor. So I come in, get into real estate, and, you know, right off the bat, I'm like, okay, what do? I don't know what to do. So I joined a guy's team. So Ron Neal here in Victoria, great guy, crushes it with Remax. He's always been one of the top guys at Remax. He's done over $1 billion in sales too. He's been in the business 30 something years, and great guy. And I worked on his team for 6 months. Now, nobody taught me in the beginning, like, figure out who you want to be. So Jason Banab in the beginning was a little bit of everything. I was door knocking town, you know, tear down sites out in Langford, looking for land developments for people. I'd go up Island for 2 hours, try to get listings there. Like, I was a little bit of everything all over. But in my mind, I always wanted to be a luxury realtor, and I wanted to dominate this part of Victoria called Oak Bay. That's where I live. That's where I grew up. It's, I don't know, in Toronto, it's probably something real nice. And then in LA, it'd be like Beverly Hills, kind of that area. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I always had my dad saying, son, you got to learn to walk before you run, son. You got to learn to walk before you run. And then in 2012, I hired a business coach. And that's when I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm ripping the shackles off. I'll be whoever I want. And the stereotype of walk before you run, take your time, and you got to, no, fuck it. Shackles are off. I'm going for it. And that's when I bared down and focused, and I changed my mindset. 2012, everything changed for me, my life. So yeah, I knew I always wanted to be in the luxury game and be the number one guy in Victoria, but I didn't, I held back because of this preconceived notion. You got to walk before you run, take your time, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of why.
I think that's really good advice for people just getting into the business, to have an idea of what type of realtor and what location you want to work in. Cause I think a lot of people, when they first get licensed, will take any deal that comes to them and will take any client, work in any area. They'll drive 45 minutes for a listing. They'll door knock anything. I mean, this is how I was. I had no idea what type of agent I wanted to be, and, you know, still don't, I guess. But I think, you know, the fact that you had a plan in your head exactly where you wanted to go, and look to what it's got you so far. So that's really good.
I mean, it took me 7 years to kind of, but then that was through working with the coach. When I started working with the coach, we identified, well, what limiting beliefs did I have, right? Like every single year, the first year in the business, I had the guy I worked for doubted me, made fun of me at a office meeting that I wouldn't make such amount of money. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'll make more than that. I'm going to be the number one Remax guy in Victoria within 2 years, and I'm going to make this amount of money. And I did. I hit it all. So I was kind of fueled by negative, somebody doubting me. You doubt me, I'll fuck you up, right? So second year in the business, number one Remax team in Victoria, number one Remax team on Vancouver Island. But I plateaued. I hit this you know, level. We made X amount per year. I had a business partner. And then in 2012, that's kind of when everything changed for me, because I changed my mindset. So it took me 7 years to get that. But my business coach, as soon as he hired me, he said, hey, you're on autopilot. I'm like, what do you mean I'm on autopilot? He goes, well, you're making the exact same amount per year, right? And I don't know if you guys want me to talk numbers or not, because it always sounds like you're bragging, but
yeah, sure. I'm into it.
Okay. So in Victoria, I was making $500,000 a year. Okay. Which is good from my second year in the business. Right. And when I was making that, it was 514, 520, 540, 508. And he said, you're on autopilot. I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, something's holding you back. Do you not want to make more than that? I said, well, yeah, I want to make more than that. Well, you've got a self, you know, you've got a self belief system or a doubt on a subconscious level that's holding you back. Let's figure out what that was. So I'm sitting there, I remember this directly. So I hired him. I'm working in my backyard. He says, get yourself one of these big easels and a, you know, a board and write on it on this big piece of paper, all the negative thoughts you got about beliefs about yourself. So not good enough. I'm not smart enough. This, this, and this comes down to one of the negative belief systems that I didn't have a degree in college or university. I went to UVic, University of Victoria on a scholarship, did 2 years there, dropped out in favor of working at BC Ferries and partying in Mexico. I used to throw spring break parties. Nice. So, you know, I had this belief system that I wasn't good enough. Why? Because I didn't have a degree. And where did that come from? It came from my dad. My dad's an Iranian man, you know, quite, you know, set in his ways and say, son, without a degree, you're never going to make it anywhere in life. Son, if you have a tattoo, you're a loser. If you don't have this degree, you're a loser, loser, loser. So on the board, I'm not smart enough. I'm a loser. I don't, you know, boom, boom, boom. So I remember I'm writing on it and I light it on fire because my coach says, you light this thing on fire and we're going to replace it with new stuff. Now, all the good things. So I'm lighting it on fire in my backyard and the neighbor pops over the fence, like that show, whatever it was there where Tim with Tim, where the neighbor pops over. He's like, hey, everything okay over there, Jason? Because there's literally smoke billowing at 11:30 at night. I'm like, I'm just fine over here, David, just burning my negative belief system. Everything's good. But then that was the end of it, right? Then I started with all the positive things. I am good enough. I can be number one. I can dominate this. I can do that. And that's when everything switched. It was a simple mindset thing. I literally went from saying, if I get this listing, if I hit my goals, if I do this, to when. I went home and told my wife, hey, this year I made $600,000. And she's like, what are you talking about? I just split with my business partner. And she's like, you're way off track for that. I said, the money's in the bank. It's just not there yet. What do you mean? And I was starting talking in the future in certainty. She wasn't used to that because I'd never talked like that. I said, hey, babe, everything's there. I made $600,000. I just bought a new car. What do you mean you just bought a new car? I'm like, I made $600,000. Everything's good, but you haven't. But in my mind, I literally switched everything that it was there. It just wasn't there yet. And then everything changed. That year I hit 676. Next year it was like, that was fucking easy. I told my coach that was easy. All right, let's go up. Let's make a million. And then the next year I made that, and then so on and so on. So, and it literally came from a thought and the way you talk, and obviously action. It's not sitting around going, kumbaya, yeah. Shit, fucking business starts falling from everywhere. No, it's going, believing in yourself, writing your goals, busting your ass, and then the shit starts happening, right? And talking with certainty.
Insane. Dude, I'm going to light my fucking condo on fire. I'll write shit up for the, this is insane. I have like affirmations. I write everything down. I journal every night. A lot of people don't know that about me because they think I'm a fucking lunatic, but yeah, I do that as well. And I truly believe in like the law of attraction and all that. So that's really cool to hear. And
yeah, I'm just, go ahead.
No, what did you say? He lost a ton of money in crypto this morning. So he's like freaking out.
I'm fine. First of all, I'm thinking the autopilot of $500,000 a year is fantastic. I would love to have that autopilot. And then I'm also thinking if I was to fill up easels of all the negative thoughts I had about myself, I would literally fill up a million easels and also light the entire town on fire. Yeah. But the business coach, is this someone that you still work with and you're consistently like updating your mindset and checking in with this guy, or is this a real estate coach? I'm always perplexed by these coaches.
Yeah.
You know, are in like real estate agents' lives. Like, it's fascinating to me how they.
I saw Matt's little piece talking about real estate coaches and shit. Everybody's a coach or running a team and stuff like that. So my business coach before was Sean Carpenter. Mm-hmm. He's no longer doing business coaching, but now it's Dave Scatcherd, played 14-year veteran in the NHL, worked with Tony Robbins, suffered some serious concussions from hockey, was borderline, you know, like life isn't worth it. I'm not saying suicidal or anything, but he traveled around the world with Tony Robbins, worked on himself, worked with monks and shaman, reprogrammed his central processing unit. Like, this is the biggest thing I think for people is that, you know, the business coach is mostly there to listen and talk. And we didn't really talk real estate strategy. So they weren't like, okay, Eric, so how many sales are you doing this week? And this. It was like, okay, so let's talk about first quarter. What are you thinking? I'm boom. Let's talk about the yearly goal. So my yearly goal is to make this amount of money, to ride bikes, to race, to do whatever you want to do. Okay, let's chunk that down into 6 months. Let's chunk that down into 3 months. 1 month. And then, Eric, what are you doing this week to hit your goal that gets you to your dollar amount? And when you look at it in a 1 year basis, it's overwhelming. Holy shit, I want to make 500 grand, a million, 5 million, 10 million, whatever your number is, it's overwhelming. But when you break it down and you can control what's going on today, what are you doing today to make this week's goal? Let's look at 1 week, then 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And every I'm checking in, I write everything down in my passion planner. I buy the passion planner. I just think it's the most organized book. And I write down, the goal for the day. And at the end of the day, I write down gratitude. So when you talk, Eric, about buckets and buckets of negative thoughts, they say that the average human has about 400 negative thoughts about ourselves a day. And we have about 3 to 4. So literally I drive around and I probably look like a fucking crazy guy. I used to laugh at people talking to themselves. Now I'm driving around going, you're good enough. I love myself. It's going to be a great day. I trust the flow of life. Everything's good. I love myself. Like, it's kind of crazy, but it's literally changed the way I am, the way I talk, and the way I think. So everything starts with a thought. So if your first thought is a negative thought, like, oh, it's going to be a shitty day, and you don't change that, guess what? You're going to have a shitty day, right? And whether you believe in God or law of attraction, I think it's kind of all the same thing. There's a higher power there. And I'm putting it out there into the universe that, boom, I want to crush my goals. I want to, ride a bike. I want to find balance in life. I want to help people. I want to do this, this, and this. And the universe gives you back what you're putting out there, right? So I'm a big believer in that. And I thought that all that shit was airy-fairy before, but it's truly not. So yeah, business coach I work with every 2 weeks, Dave Scatcherd, amazing guy, top producing hockey player. And he works with a lot of professional athletes, but the most positive energy I've ever met is this guy. I literally met him at a function 3 years ago. This is how it came up. My buddy Tim Kwok, sister owns Silver Arrow Cars, introduced me to him at this function. Great function. I think Sarah McLachlan was the guest singer there. So I shake his hand. I knew he played in the NHL, and I felt something in his hand, and I was like, holy fuck, what is that? And I just shook his hand and I could feel this. And I said, what do you do? And he goes, what do you mean? What do I do? I used to play hockey. He said, no, what do you do right now? Cause I'm feeling something in through my hands and I don't know what it is. And when he wasn't giving me one of these little tickle moves or anything.
Yeah, like a hockey puck in there.
He wasn't sliding in there, and it was energy. And I said, I feel energy coming through my hand, your hands. And he goes, I'm a business coach now. And I said, damn, I need to talk to you. That was it. So that was 4 years. I've been working with him 4 years now.
And you had no interest before working with the coach? I was with a
different coach before.
Yeah, you're working with a different coach before. Do you recommend?
Ricky Carruth?
No, not Ricky Carruth, right? Do you recommend everyone have a coach now? Like, you really feel if you didn't have a coach to kind of align you, you wouldn't be where you are today?
Yeah, I definitely would. I wouldn't be where I am for sure if it wasn't for Sean Carpenter, the first coach I have, and then now Dave Scatcherd, and he's helped me with, growing a business and bringing on agents. Now I literally sit down with all of my agents and I do my own little mini goal setting session on this whiteboard in our office. And I'd say, Matt, what's your goals for the year? What's the 6 month, 3 months, 1 month? And it's not just money. It's also, Eric, it's also things like Matt wants to attract like-minded people. Him and I have talked about this. I mean, he's funny as fuck. Puts himself out there in these videos. You can offend people, but in my goals are attract like-minded people. So what's like-minded people? I love hockey. I'm a hockey player. I love cycling. I love young people. I love old people. I just love people that want to have fun. Like, hey, I fucking have fun. I laugh. I'm goofy. I'm this, that, the other. But at the end of the day, I get shit done and I bust my ass and I work. But I also want to work with people that want to have fun and are light and not tight. You know, when you get some of those clients that everything, you send them the photos and they're like, I don't like that one photo. It's the toilet paper. You can see it. Or they fight everything. The write-up doesn't work. The photos don't work. This, that, the other. Those are the ones you're like, oh shit, this is like they're fighting energy. And I find the people that have the negative energy takes longer to sell or doesn't sell. They get less money. And the experience is just more stressful, as opposed to certain people that are like, hey, I just trust you. Eric, I've hired you. I'm just going with the flow. I'm easy going. Guess what? Those people get over asking a lot of the time. They get, things go better and it's just a smoother transaction. And that's the type of people I'm trying to attract. And it doesn't mean that you don't get the odd negative energy one. And sometimes your spidey senses aren't telling you right off the bat, but eventually you can kind of be like, all right, that one, and was there a red flag? There might've been a red flag. I should have just said, hey, this isn't a fit. So I work with a coach with Dave every 2 weeks. And then every other week, I'm also doing hypnotherapy. So I work with a hypnotherapist. I started in 2017. And I was afraid of public speaking in front of groups of people, not on camera, but give me five people or 500 in a room, and the paper was shaking and everything was shaking. And that's probably why I didn't do good with acting. And I was afraid of flying, like, you know, the claustrophobic effect of when they close the door and holy shit, I'm stuck. So through hypnotherapy, we worked on that. Three sessions later, I've spoke at England Volkers Conference in front of, 800 people. That kind of stuff doesn't scare me. Flying doesn't scare me anymore. So we reprogrammed on a subconscious level. That's what I work with at hypnotherapy. It's like, hey, things that you're not aware of, it might be this or that, or handling stress. I do that typically I've been doing hypnotherapy once a week. But right now I'm a little bit busy, so I'm probably shifting back to once every 2 weeks, but I work with the business coach once every 2 weeks too, and have for since 2012.
Does the business coach teach you to use our names within conversation? Because I noticed when you talk to either of us, you specify who you're talking to, and it really works because it attracts me further into the conversation. Yeah. So when you say, you know, Eric, this is what my business coach is doing, I like re-engage and get like reinvigorated. So we feel your energy through this as well. I don't know what that hockey coach is, you know, transposing through your hands and mouth to us.
Well, here's what I say, like, for anybody that's a realtor, honestly, this business isn't rocket science, right? Like, why do the top people make the most amount of money? Because they connect with humans. We are in the business of humans, and the home is just the product, right? It could be a vacuum. It could be a car. It could be whatever. If you engage with somebody and you connect with them, then if I did a listing appointment and you just felt what you felt, and I'm in the room with you and Matt, and I'm listing your guys' place, and you're like, hey, you know what? If you leave that appointment and you don't know why you feel more connected to me than you do to Peter Torkan that Matt works with, then guess what? You're going to pick up the phone and call me and hire me. And I might have done 5 sales in my career versus Peter that's done 500, but it doesn't matter. Connection first, and then, you know, knowledge and everything else. So for me, I've just through doing hundreds of these listing appointments, you know, I've picked up on, so I've read enough books and talked to my coach, and we do shadowing too. So when somebody sits a certain way at an appointment, if somebody's leaning forward, like Matt's leaning forward and we're at the appointment together, I'm going to lean forward like that. If Matt sits back and does this, sometimes I do this because I want to see the reaction. And on a subconscious level, Matt is now going to walk away and feel connected to me. So real estate isn't just about the home and an appointment. I do a two-step appointment. The second appointment is here in the office. Within my appointment, there's things going on that I am identifying, sometimes even on a subconscious level, like you said, Derek. I didn't mean to say your name, but I'm saying your name. And when I'm here, I'm not meaning to shadow somebody or lean forward, but I'm doing it. I'm also identifying what 4 quadrants the human's in, right? Like if Matt's got a ring on his finger, on his pinky finger, he's an engineer. Well, guess what? Matt doesn't want the fluff. He wants the fucking numbers. Like, what's my home worth? I don't give a shit about this fancy presentation, Jason. What's my home worth? Now, if Matt's got a partner sitting there and that partner is on Instagram or doing something like that, I better bring that partner back in and get them engaged because I'm losing them, right? So there's an identifying process going on at the same time I'm doing my listing presentation. Matt's seen my presentation through the agency, but there's a process within the process, right?
It's the best I've ever seen. I'm not just saying that, the best listing present. And I told you whose it was better than, and I won't say it on say it. No, we won't say it, but was it Eric knows.
Was it Mauricio?
No, Mauricio is a monster. I mean,
Mauricio doesn't have to do an appointment. He just shows up with his Spanish.
Hola. This is so interesting because, we've never had anyone on here who actually went into like the nitty gritty of energy mindset, but it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. And just like Eric said, you're so engaged. We're so engaged with you more than a lot of other people. It's super crazy to see just your energy through a screen. I can only imagine when you give someone an actual listing appointment.
Yeah, you're like levitating in the room.
Are you even sitting on anything?
Floating with my legs crossed.
What are the 4 quadrants? So I know when you're saying you identify someone, are there 4 quadrants that are specific to real estate? Like this is a numbers person, this is an emotional person, or how does that work?
So I can't remember exactly how my coach classifies them, but one of them is basically that's a numbers person. One of them is like the happy-go-lucky person that doesn't really give a shit about anything. They just want to connect. There's the, you know, there's two other quadrants that I can't tell you exactly what the names of the quadrants are, but it's identifying who am I dealing with, right? So the first thing I do at a listing appointment, and I'll say this to you guys, because I'll give you, is I walk into a home, man and woman, two men, women, doesn't really matter who it is. One person's tougher to figure out, but if it's one person, at least, you know. But if there's two people, it's easier. First thing I do is I walk in the appointment, and let's say it's the two of you guys, and I say, hey guys, sorry, I've been talking quite a bit today. I always carry fisherman's friends, just keep the throat lubricated, because we do talk a lot.
They're like mints.
I always carry these things. These are my go-to. It's just, you know, and they keep you from getting sick. The little cherry flavored ones, right?
Yeah, they're good.
So I walk into the appointment and I'll say, hey guys, sorry, I've been talking a bit. Do you mind if I get a glass of water? If Eric says, Matt, get Jason a glass of water, Eric's in charge. If Matt says, Eric, get Jason a glass of water, Matt's in charge. So right off the bat, first things first, I know who to pay a little bit more attention to. Okay. So quadrants, identifying who's in charge. Now, also, I try to find out somebody's love languages. Okay. Five languages of love, right? Pretty simple, but there's ways to, and you listen to people. Some people talk about something looking a certain way. Some people talk about feeling a certain way, or sound, can, you know, auditory, they talk in a certain way. So I pay attention to that. And then there's also the six core human needs, right? So what is somebody looking for? Most men that are A-type are looking for significance, right? They want to feel important. This is my house. You're in my house. They want to feel important. But if the wife is more the controller than the man, then you gotta fill her up a bit, make her feel connected, pay attention to her. But also you got this A-type guy here that sometimes he's too busy, doesn't want to do the appointment, or it can be two women. It doesn't really matter who it is. It's identifying significance. If significance is number one, it could be something like, hey, Eric, you guys have done such a great job in this home. I heard Matt was saying, you're the designer of the home. I really love what you've done. And you're filling that person up, right? Certainty, uncertainty, love and connection, contribution and growth. Love and connection, those people are easy. If they just want to connect and they want to love on you, and Eric's just a lovey guy, and he's like, man, I just seen all your videos. I like, you know, some people are like, I get five or six listings a year where they're like, oh, you're with the agency. I just love the agency. Mauricio, he's just such a great guy. I've seen him on TV. I met him in Palm Springs. He's this, that, the other. I'm like, okay, this person's looking for love and connection. So don't worry about the listing presentation, telling them how great you are, this, that, the other. I'm going to fill this person's, you know, love cup right now with love and connection. That's literally what they want. Eric wants to connect. I'll give him connection. Let's just talk about the weather. Let's talk about whatever. But then you got to identify what that person. So there's a few things, the four quadrants, five languages of love, and the six core human needs. And I've done so much of it. I can't tell you when I'm thinking about or when I'm doing something or the other. It just happens for me in the appointment and I pay attention. It doesn't mean I'm right 100% of the time, but I'll ask probing questions. So like, hey, Matt, you know, what's most important to you? And if Matt says, well, what's most important to me is that, you know, somebody's communicating with me, this, this, and this, then I'm like, okay, so they're looking for significance because they want to feel important, right? So I don't know, it's so fascinating. I love this business because it's a people business, and it's literally a mystery to me when I go in to figure out who is Eric, what's he about? Who is Matt, what's he about? Or Susie or Jim, or doesn't really matter who it does. It's just so fascinating.
Very fascinating. And I think we should note, what was your listing average? Of the appointments you took, how many did you get?
I'm probably 98% of landing 90% of the listings. As long as I can get them here to the office for the second appointment. And some people will call and be like, no, I just want you to come here and give me a number. You ain't getting a fucking number. Yeah. And if I go to their house, so if I go to Matt's house and he's like, I just want a number, sit down. I literally go in with my little red book. Okay. My little red book. Cause you know, we're at the agency. I do nothing more than carry this book, write my notes, meeting Eric and Matt, walk around the home, high ceiling height, this, this, and this. I'll write my little notes, okay? And they'll say, well, what's my home worth? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, I have no idea. I haven't seen your home yet. Well, you know, it was for sale before. I've never seen it. I'm here to make sure that we are a fit, that I get along with you guys, you get along with me. Because really what relationship is, what real estate is if you hire me, we are entering into a relationship for the life of that listing, whether it be a day, or 6 months, we need to make sure we get along. You need to make sure I trust that you trust me. But more importantly, guess what? I need to make sure I trust you, because we're realtors, we're independent contractors. I don't have to work with everybody. If I don't like Eric and Matt, I don't have to work with you too. Sorry, this isn't a fit. Energetically, this isn't a fit. Energy, negativity, something, you don't have to work with them, right? So at the end of the day, I do a two-step appointment. One, the book, write down my notes. Two, get you guys to the office. And if you say, no, we just want a number, give me a call. Sorry, you ain't getting a number. Why not? Because I'm guessing that you've got a family member, your second cousin who's brand new, one day in the business, you want the reputation from one of the best and the numbers from that, and you want to go give it to your cousin. Fuck that. You can figure out the numbers yourself. Come to my office for the second appointment, or I'll come to your house for the second appointment, but I'm going to burn another hour of my life, but I'm going to more importantly burn another hour of your life. So I'm going to make sure you're fucking serious. And if you come to my office, you are serious. And sometimes people might just be coming shopping for a number, but once they're here, this is my field, man. Like, this is, you guys right now are dominating on this, and this, you feel comfortable. This is your house. Well, in here, this is my house, my presentation. I've got a chance to win them over now, to win their business. Even if their cousin's a realtor, they should be leaving here questioning things, going, holy shit, my cousin's a realtor. 1 week in the business. But, you know, this is your biggest asset. Are you going to get a brain surgery done from the cousin that's doing the first brain surgery, or from the expert that's done 8,000 surgeries or 1,500 surgeries? I'm not going to trust my biggest asset with my cousin. I'm going to trust my brain, or which is important to us, as a home is important to us, with the brain surgeon that's done the most surgeries, that's the best. And I think that when they come here, they're showing they're serious. That's the second appointment. So they ain't getting a number unless they come here. So once they're here, that's 98%.
Damn. That's like insane. I mean, you did the whole listing presentation for us, mm-hmm. and it was unreal. And the mindset and the science that goes into it, and then hearing that you land about 98%, which is an insane number.
Yeah, I want to come to your office for a second appointment. I'm not even listing anything. I just want to head over there and just get, I want you to figure out my love language. I want you to dissect me emotionally. I want you to extrapolate my negativity. And then I just want to like live in your house.
Dude, basically. Your negativity is why your crypto is going down.
I don't have any negativity. I'm in a good mood right now. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Crypto. You have the sweating. Power to manifest everybody invested in cryptos. Portfolio, you're fucking it up right now, I tell you, boy.
All right, so, I'm gonna try.
I do want to talk about, because you're very serious on, like, you know, if it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. You're not chasing anyone for business. And I find this extremely interesting because I go through the same thing with your marketing. We haven't talked much about your marketing. For me, I mean, my videos and stuff, it's quite niche, and people are either gonna love it or they're gonna hate it. Yeah. And you were saying you actually go through the same thing, being, you know, a lot of your videos are very high-end lifestyle luxury. You drive Lamborghinis and Porsches and stuff like that. And you said you've gone through that as well, where people will actually think you're too high-end and they shy away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I mean, obviously luxury should not be a price point. It should be an experience, right? But you got to remember, most people are going to take a look at you. And why it's so important to be on video, you guys do video a lot, is because people want to know, like, and trust you. And when you're on video, they get a chance to know you. They can decide, hey, this fucking Matt guy works for me, this Eric guy works for me, or doesn't. Then they don't like you, they don't call you, they're not going to trust you. No problem. So for me, when I set my goals at the beginning of the year through law of attraction, I put out there the type of people I want to work with. I break down not just sales. Once I break down sales, it's neighborhoods, is it houses, is it townhomes, is it condos? And then below that, I'm writing down what type of people they are, right? So when I put out there into my videos that I wear certain clothes or certain watches or certain hairstyle or watch, whatever, the glasses, cars, this, that, the other, you are going to turn some people off, right? But here's where I think most realtors get caught, is you're trying to be everything to everybody. You're not trying to focus in the beginning. You're trying to say, I'll take a listing here and here, and I'll go from Brentwood and Matt in Eric's neighborhood to, you know, Beverly Hills, to Hollywood, to West Hollywood, and here, boom, boom, boom. No, fucking focus. Get laser sharp early on who you want to be. So if somebody picks up the phone and calls Eric and says, I want to list in West Hollywood, Eric looks and goes, you know what, West Hollywood, fuck, it's going to take 45 minutes to an hour and a half to drive 12 kilometers, 8 miles, whatever. That's taking away from where Eric wants to focus. Eric's fucking focused on Brentwood. He's going to be the number one guy in Brentwood. Brentwood. For me, it's Oak Bay, Oak Bay, Oak Bay. So when business comes outside of Oak Bay, how far is it outside of Oak Bay? And am I passionate about those neighborhoods? Yes, I am. No problem. I'll take the business. Business in Souk or wherever else that's 45-minute drive for me or for you guys, an hour, hour and a half. No, why is because it's taking away from my focus. So when I put my stuff out there, my videos, somebody wants to judge me, I'm wearing a Rolex or I'm driving a whatever type of car. Guess what? Law of attraction is saying, boom, that person's not meant to be. They're going to bounce off and go away from you. Now you can sit back and cry about that and be like, oh, you know, like I got to, like I've had this where my wife's friends call and say, hey, you know, they've worked with me in the past, but we're not going to work with Jason. We're going to work with somebody else now. Why? Because, you know, the one person's got a new partner and the new partner says that Jason's too fancy. Guess what? Bing, bing, not meant to be with me. I can just be like, hey, no problem. One door closed because three fucking doors open. And those doors are with people that want to laugh. They want to have fun. They understand me. Or I can sit around and cry and get tight in the shoulders and be like, oh God, I lost business and I feel depressed and whatever. Like, no, fuck that shit, man. Like, you got to pick yourself up. It doesn't mean that when a negative thing, somebody calls me and says, Jason, you're too fancy, or Matt, we're not picking you because your videos, you know, it's not quite, we don't know if you're serious enough. You can sit with that for a few seconds and just be like, okay, how does that make me feel? For me, when I've got a negative experience, what I do is through meditation, through my coach, Dave and I, we've meditated on a place. It's my happy place. It's a lake where I used to spend summers with my grandma. And at that lake, it represents beauty, sun, lake, water, fun. Off to the side, there's a chest. There's a chest that's there, like old school, like Pirates of the Caribbean. Arr, you know, there's a chest there. And this chest, I have the key for. So when something negative happens in my mind, through just this closing my eyes and meditating, I unlock the chest, open up the chest, and I throw something negative in there. So somebody pisses me off, somebody calls Matt, another realtor calls Matt, says, Matt, you're a fucking piece of shit, this, this, and this, you offended, you know, you ruined my favorite song, Stand by Eminem, you fucking asshole. So now now Matt can either get worked up or put that negative thought in that chest, close the chest, lock it up. And for me, that chest is when I'm going for a bike ride or a run or something where I'm like low on energy, and I want something negative to fire me up. Like, I'm a cyclist. So when you climb a hill, it sucks. You're going to do a 10K hill climb. I want a little negative energy to fucking put some juice in my legs and get me fired up. So I'll open up that chest and be like, what did that Matt guy say about me? Fuck you, Matt. I'll show you. And I'm just giving it up the hill. Right. So it's, you know, positivity, it's negativity, but it's more than anything, it's picking, you know, kind of what you're looking for, right? I'm looking for positive experiences, and I'm looking for when I can put the negative things there in the chest and I can pull them back out. But, you know, it's not, I'm not for everybody. I'm not the flavor for everybody. And I think the realtors early on need to understand that you can't be a little bit of everything to everybody. You're going to piss somebody off. You're going to turn somebody off, and you got options to pick your feet up and get going again and crush it, or sit around and cry and be depressed. Which one are you going to be?
And not be one of those to help. We need one of those chests for negative Instagram comments, because every time we get an Instagram comment saying we're not funny or this is insulting or something, Matt calls me and starts crying, or vice versa. So we need one of those, and then we could open it up for motivation for the next videos.
We have very tough guy exterior. Well, I guess not really.
No, we don't.
But
at this point, I don't think we do.
Yeah,
I think we need to put on a more tough guy.
Yeah, I need to bulk. Yeah, I need a bulk. And, you know, as we start winding down here, we were talking at the beginning, Jason, I would say you're top five most handsome at the agency. I will give. Yeah. And of course we got to put Maurizio in there. Santiago. Yeah. I mean, Stefan.
David, James, Stefan.
Stefan, Eric? Like,
have you met him?
No, I mean, he sounds unbelievably attractive. It's like a modeling agency. I mean, you guys recruit based off of looks. It's insane.
I showed my wife Stefan. I said, this guy's incredible. You know,
she signed up for the agency forum before he did. She's like, we're COVID or no COVID, Stefan Pompei and Santiago, I'm in. I tell you, these guys with their shirts off, forget about it. Like, all the ladies from our office went down for the agency party. And it was like Stefan and Santiago, and James, David, John Grauman. I mean, there's fucking so.
Everyone. Maurizio's like.
Oh, yeah. Forget about it.
He's got that rugged, you know, it's like a rugged. It's incredible. Yeah. It's the thing.
That laugh.
Really is.
That laugh.
I'd like to think I've cracked the top 50, but I'm not sure. I'm a little short, you know, I'm only 5'9". So.
Get those shoes. They keep showing up on my Instagram. I don't know if they read my mind. I'm 6 feet tall, but they keep showing 2.5 inch lift. I think they'll be perfect for you.
Well, I do have, I wear these boots. I shop, I won't, yeah, they're nice boots, but they're 2-inch heels.
Yeah.
Brings me to 5'11". So
perfect.
Solid. There you go. Solid, solid. Eric, you're like 6'7" or something, right? You're pretty.
Yeah, I'm 6'3" naturally. I don't need any,
okay.
Any boosts or stilts to improve my image.
Yeah.
That's was incredible. I too boring there? Was that too serious? I feel like most of the people.
No,
this was
honestly incredible.
No, this was.
We're still going.
Transition from our usual content too.
Yeah, like, because I mean,
we've been.
Yeah, go for it.
No, you go ahead, Matt.
No, well, we were talking. We always talk about, like, it seems the last couple episodes the same thing, like Instagram and Reels, and because that's what we know a lot about, right? And how to grow on those platforms. But this was a totally different way of looking at the business, and I think a lot of people are going to find like a ton of value in this.
Yeah, you're telling people how to execute listing appointments, and we're always talking about engagement tactics for Instagram. So I think this was a great transition. It was a really, really interesting podcast.
I think there's so many great coaches out there, and I know that, like, I don't know Tom Ferrier, there's Brian Buffini's and all these coaches out there for real estate. I feel like most of them are about, you know, cold calling and writing cards and thanking people and so many phone calls and yada, yada, yada. That's all important. But if you don't focus on the human first, I don't care how many phone calls. You put me in front of 5,000 listing appointment people, and if I can't figure out what type of human they are, what quadrant they're in, their love language, or how to connect with them, you're going to lose every one of those. Cards or not, right? So make fucking 5,000 phone calls till you're blue in the face, but don't understand how to connect with a human. Be sincere. Not be too loud or too soft or too quiet or too this or that, the other. Then you're never going to get the business. So connection for me is first. And I think it's the one thing that in real estate, my coaches are mostly focused on law of attraction shit and reprogramming me. Like Dave Scatcherd, we had, you know, a few years ago, I had moments of anxiety where I was feeling extreme anxiety and stress in my life and stuff. And we worked on how to deal with that. And we're fucking yelling at, you know, we gave this anxiety a name. We named this fucking thing. It was Leviathan is the name I gave it. He's like, you fucking scream, fuck you, Leviathan. You don't hold anything on me. I'm like, I got to leave the office. I can't do this here. Like, I'm sitting
holy
in my
fuck. Room. Your neighbors are like, there's a fucking exorcism going on.
Yeah, there's some guy named Leviathan's there, and it's constantly attacking this guy.
He's burning shit at 11:30 yelling, fuck you, Leviathan.
What is Leviathan's? Is that a name?
It's a roller coaster at Canada.
I had a panic attack in 2017 just from so much stress and the situation.
Going to club, yeah.
On a dock with kids and stimulation, and the phone wasn't stopping in real estate. Not for me. Like, now I put the phone, so it's got my fancy case agency, but I put it face down. So when I'm focused on somebody and I'm present. I'm not sitting there talking to you and doing this. No, I'm focused. The shit's face down. That was the first thing. But we gave it a name. Like, what is this anxiety? How does it show up in your body? It shows up in my throat sometimes. I feel tightness in my chest. It shows up in the form of heartburn. You know, whatever. So let's give it a name. I don't know. What's the first name? And this is all through, like, close your eyes. Leviathan. I just spat this name out. I don't know why it sounds like a bad name. I think it's from the Bible. And it's like, okay, Leviathan. So let's talk about Leviathan. And then we just started writing down negative shit about anxiety and through this triangle that he draws on the thing. And this is this, and this is this, and this is this, and how to remove it or accept it or breathe into it and remove it. So many great coaches out there for me, Dave Scatcherd's work, because we focus on the human, the connection, and on our inner belief system and reprogramming myself. And that's where I found hypnotherapy. If you can find a great hypnotherapist, you fucking pay somebody, like I pay Mimi Jameson $130 to put me in a trance-like state where I feel like I'm sleeping. I come out of it and I feel refreshed. And she'll be like, so what do you remember? Nothing. Do you remember a tree? Nothing. I don't remember nothing. But I walk out of there going, fuck, I feel amazing. And we work on what I want, like handling stress or ringing in my ears or tightness in the jaw or uncomfortable stomach or gut rot. All your body is manifesting stress in some way or form, unless you're perfect, which last thing I checked, the only perfect person is probably Stefan or,
you know, Mauricio
Santiago. So I'm not quite there, as Matt said, top five, but top five. You know, it's showing up in our body somewhere, clenching or, you know, grinding or something like that. So on a subconscious level through hypnotherapy, I really enjoy that process, and I feel better and the ear ringing's less, and I got a lot of stress in my life.
Yeah.
But guess what? I still crush it. And I still feel positive, and it doesn't bog me down where some people can only handle two things and they're like, oh my God, I need a day off. Fucking day off. I haven't had a day off in 12 years.
Yeah. You know,
think so.
That's awesome to, because Eric and I are both quite anxious people, I would say. Like I'm pretty, I don't want to speak for Eric, but I know he's had some episodes, but I'm very,
I had a panic attack 2 weeks ago.
So. Yeah. I'm an anxious person.
Back from Palm Springs. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an anxious person for sure. So that's interesting to hear. And it's cool to just hear someone, you know, doing what you're doing is just, you know, you're anxious like everyone else and you have those problems, just like, you know, the fucking people are doing two deals a year.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We're all dealing with, we're all on a journey. That's the beauty of this business. It's the beauty of life, is we're all on a journey trying to find our place, or, you know, and it can be in real estate. For me, it was moving from one company to the other, to buying the agency. It's meeting people. It's figuring out what type of realtor you want to be, high end, low end, a little bit of everything. What are you motivated by? So if you want to be the guy that does 500 sales a year and you want your average sale to be at $5,000 commission and you're just motivated just to help everybody, great. I'm not motivated by that. I'm motivated by helping other people. I'm motivated by selling product that I believe in, that I enjoy showing, the luxury market, Oak Bay, waterfront, and I'd rather do way less deals at a higher average price point. So, you know, changing the way you look at things, mindset, and enjoy doing it and looking for balance. We're all looking for balance to some degree, right? And in real estate, it's not, we're not very balanced, right? But I take an hour, 2 hours, go for a bike ride to turn the mind off. I meditate at night before I go to bed. I meditate in the morning. When I go meditate at night, I visualize what I want the next day to look like. In my passion planner, I write down listing appointments that don't even exist. I didn't even know about them. And I'm like, write down new high-end waterfront listing appointment, new South Oak Bay epic property. And I keep writing them. Not everything happens, but when you throw out there into the universe what you're looking for, guess what? It's just going to give you a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this. And if your focus is goodness, I'll take 5 good things over 50 negative things, right? So just, I think that that's the thing that most people forget about, is that the power of the mind, sure, make all the phone calls, do this, 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 door knock, cold call, whatever, send 5 messages a day to Instagram people. But once you get in front of that person, you better be researching how to identify with humans and understand the quadrants, love languages, and core human needs, and then play off it. Take a chance with Matt. You know, if Matt's a buddy, play with him, you know, have fun, try to figure out what he's like, get to know people. I call it on a soul fucking level. Like, I want to get to know everybody on a deep, intimate level, not a sexual level, an intimate level. So if I know what makes somebody, it tweak, you know what I mean? It gets them fired up or whatever. And Matt's a guy that is looking for, you know, words of affirmation. That's his love language. And Matt's one of my agents. I'm going to go out, or maybe he's physical touch. I might give Matt a touch on the shoulder at the office, be like, hey, Matt, congrats on that one sale, man. You're fucking crushing, man. I'm so proud of you. Now I filled 2 of his love languages right there. Right. And now he's going to feel more connected to me. Matt, as a realtor, is less likely to leave this company and go somewhere else. If Matt's my client, or Eric's my client, and Eric likes physical touch or words of affirmation, or Eric likes acts of service, right? So maybe Eric's got the listing and he's a busy guy, and I'm at the listing and I'm sweeping his driveway, or sweeping his steps before a showing, or tidying up or something like that. This guy's going to be like, oh, fuck, my realtor is sweeping. Why is he sweeping? Because I've identified that Eric is an acts of service guy. He's busy. I'll grab the leaf blower, Eric. I'm here 10 minutes early, blowing the leaves. And he's going to feel connected to me. So when that listing expires in 3 months or 6 months, he's relisting with me most of the time. Why? Because I've paid attention. So get the listings, connect, retain the listings, and keep. That's one thing I do, is I keep listings more than most people do. And they'll cancel and relist and give me a chance, because we're connected, right?
Yeah, this, I will say before we go, this works because, okay, Jason and I are both into watches. We love watches. A couple months ago, yeah, he's wearing a Rolex GMT Master II Pepsi, I believe. Yeah, anyways, a couple months we were speaking. I was talking, I said, I want a GMT Master Pepsi, what he's wearing right now. And, you know, I'm not ready to get it. And he said, well, call and put yourself on the wait list, and then you'll make it happen. So I called, I put myself on the wait list. Wait list is quite long, but I put it on the wait list. Since then, I've done one of my highest sales in my career, price-wise. I'm going to have the best year of my career. And I'm about to get a listing that will be the highest price listing of my career. And that was just by putting myself on a Rolex wait list and having the mindset of, okay, well now if they call me, I don't want to be a fucking loser and not be able to go pick it up.
Yeah.
So I've been working and it was as simple as that. And you know, I have the accountability of you. I told you as soon as I put on the wait list, I told you that I put that on the wait list. So if I don't show up one day with that fucking watch, I'm a loser.
So you better have it. You better have it by the agency forum in September, October in LA.
Well,
I'm fucking buying it for you and I'm going to charge you double. How's that?
Okay.
$25,000 for this. I'll grease you through Peter or somehow I'm going to get 25 snaps foam from you.
Okay. Deal.
No, deal. But it's I think if everybody can, instead of talking about if somebody calls me or if I get the listing appointment, just start with positive thoughts. When, reprogram yourself, talk differently, act differently, sit differently, stand, sit up proper posture. There's just so many little things you can do that'll change your day, that'll change your life, right? And you making the phone call to order the watch, for most people, like I told one of our girls, you know, when she was going to go down to LA a couple of years ago, she was like, I can't afford it. I said, book the fucking trip. Well, I need to do a sale. No. Book the trip. The sale will be there. If you truly believe, it'll be there, right? The money just doesn't fall from the sky to me, but deals fall to me and they come to me and people call and this, and this. Why? Because I trust the flow of life. Things flow easy to me. Money flows easy to me too. So if I want to buy that watch or get something or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Just if you trust that you're going to hit your goals, then go get the watch now. Hey, babe, don't worry about it. You know what? I haven't done the sales yet, but I've done the sales. What do you mean you haven't done the sales yet? They're there. They're just not there today. I could do zero sales today, 10 today. I can do 10 next week, zero to next week. You don't know, but in real estate, if you set your goals and it's 50 sales, 20 sales, 100 sales, and you work and you believe and you're focused and you're mentally up here, you're going to hit your goals and be accountable for that for sure. But at the same time, then just talk with certainty and stuff and go out there and have a little bit of fun. Celebrate those wins, celebrate those victories, right? And for me, the celebration, I buy watch, like the big watches on you know, a big sale. So I say, I'm going to do this $8 million sale. I'm going to get my Yachtmaster rose gold that I bought, which, you know, and I have a chat about. And that for me was celebrating a big victory. I did an $8 million sale and I went and bought that watch. And, you know, you don't have to fill yourself. Like we're not superficial humans that are just looking to fill our, you know, love with products and stuff like that. We're just talking about, you still need to celebrate, and celebrate could be, I'm going to take a week off and go on a surf trip, or I'm going to, you know, upgrade rims on my car, or I'm going to do this and this, repaint my old, you know, Winnebago or something, but celebrate the victories, but mental clarity and believing in yourself. And everything starts with a thought, just like this. I said, I want to be on this podcast with my boy. I want to be on OverAsk. I want to meet Eric. Why? Because he's ridiculously good looking and 6'3".
Boom. Thank you.
I'm ridiculously good looking too. Top 50, yes, right? Am I top 50 in agency? Maybe.
I would say you'd be in the top 15 for sure.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Maybe even top 8 when I grow the mustache out, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With me, with the dirty Sanchez that I had, the on the Cinco de Mayo, I shaved from the beard to just the Captain Jack, and everybody was like, "What the hell? What, you look terrible?" I'm like, "It's Cinco de Mayo."
I liked it. Yes, I liked it. Well, that was unreal. I think, you know, that was, we haven't had anyone like this on the show.
Our souls are sufficiently fucked.
You've given so much.
You soul fucked us.
So much value, man. Honestly, we really appreciate you coming on. I think people are really going to enjoy this. This is definitely one of my favorite episodes because it's a totally different look on how to look at the business. So I really appreciate you coming on. That was
I appreciate you guys having me.
Incredible.
Keep producing amazing material and making us laugh in a business that's not always laughable and easy, right? It's fun. It's a good time to have. And I'm sorry if I talk too much, Eric. I feel like you didn't get in a word, but
no, it was great. You provide unbelievable value, and no one needs to hear about my engagement tactics every single episode. So this is very refreshing, and I look forward to meeting you at the LA party if Matt invites me.
Yes, he'll be.
And then you could learn my love language, and then
you'll see my new watch, Eric.
Yeah, you better.
I'm gonna have a treasure chest of negative thoughts, literally just strapped to my back.
Just come to my hotel one night, and we'll write down your negative thoughts, and we'll burn it. Then we'll get kicked out of the hotel, and we get to stay at Mauricio. Boom!
That's sick. I'm in too. Let's do it.
You've got a pretty sweet pool house, I tell you, boy.
Sure, he does.
I'm there. All right, dude. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Take it easy, man.
Thanks.